Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Are you awake now? Seemed like everybody was kind of in that lull state where you're half awake and you're half asleep. But thank God you're awake now. Everybody knows what this is, right? It's a lariat rope. You know, to me, a lariat rope is an important tool. Whether you're going to be roping cattle, where you're going to be roping calves, it doesn't matter. You've got to have one of these if you want to be successful, if you want to do your job, whatever your task is. If you want to catch something, unless you want to shoot it, this is what you use. But the world says this. The world says this isn't necessary anymore. Times have changed. This is a decoration. It's to hang on the wall and put a ribbon on it. Would you agree with that? That's what the world says. It says it's no longer necessary to have a device like this because, you know, these are new times. We don't have to worry about catching cattle anymore. You don't have to worry about roping them. Well, you can just dart them. You can just shoot them. You can kill them. You can just drop them where they are and just back up to them, load them up with a forklift. That's what the world says about a lot of things today. The world says that things are past and gone. These things that you're talking about in Christianity, they're no longer apply to this day and time. Sin is no longer sin anymore, according to the world, that is. If you don't believe it, just talk to your friends about something. I'm talking about the ones that don't go to church. Just ask them, what do they think about the Christian values, things that what we call to be and what God calls sin, see what they have to say. All these things is the old way that people used to think. This is a new age. Everything is okay to do now. If you don't believe, watch Oprah. If you don't believe it, what's that? I don't even know what they call it. That woman's deal where they got them four or five ladies stretched out or six of them in a row. Yeah, don't view the view. Anyway, if you don't believe that the world believes this way, just tune in and watch one of those shows and see what they say about when things are not what they should be or what they look like. What you think, man, that can't be right. They'll say it's okay. I heard a preacher just here not too long ago say, and I'm not going to mention his name because I'm not here to badmouth another man of God, but he said, he made this statement and it just rubbed me the wrong way. Said, God, I want you to listen, God is too much of a gentleman to send a man to hell for his sin. Too much of a gentleman. I tell you, I don't know which God he's talking about. But the God that I serve hadn't changed. He's not old-fashioned. I guarantee you my God is just up to date today as he was 2,000 years ago. The sin that it talks about in the Bible, just in the New Testament alone, it talks about sin 174 times. If it's important enough that God thought it was important enough to put it just in the New Testament 174 times, how important do you think it ought to be to us as believers? We ought to take it serious. God hadn't changed his mind about sin. It's still not acceptable in his sight. This is a statement that as I was doing this message, this just come to my mind. I know it's probably been said before, but it come into my head that if sin is no longer an issue, if sin is not a problem in this world, then why did I have to send my son to die on the cross for it? You talk about slap you with a cow pie. That'll wake you up, I guarantee you. When you hear, if it's not a problem, then why did my son have to go to the cross and shed his blood for sin? It says that sin is any thought, any word, or any action that's contrary to God's character. Would y'all agree with that? You just think about it. Anything that you think. Jesus said, you know, I didn't come here to take the law away. I come to fulfill it. He said that if you just think, if you think it, you've sinned. So every thought, every word that comes out of our mouth, and everything that we do that's contrary to God's word and His nature, His character, that's what sin is. In Romans 6:16, it says this, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Just further down in verse 23, it says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the fact of the matter is that when we sin, we separate ourselves from God. God doesn't go anywhere. God still stays right where He's at. But when we sin, we put a wall up. We separate ourselves. Why do you think that is? Why when we sin, is there a separation? Why is there a gulf that has all of a sudden come between us and God that needs to be bridged? God does. He can't stand sin. He can't look at it. When Jesus was on the cross and He took on all our sins, God turned His back on Him. Because why? He could not look upon sin. Even His own Son, when He took on our sins on the cross, shed His blood to wash our sins away, God couldn't look at Him. Have you ever pondered on the thought that sin itself, how bad it is? And have you ever thought about, can you ever sin enough? Hey, can you ever go so far with your sin that God can't reach you? I don't care how far down that rabbit hole of sin you go. It don't matter how far you go to where you're at the bottom. God can still reach you. God still loves us and He still forgives. No matter how much you think you've sinned, however bad you think you are, God says, it ain't bad enough. I can forgive you. All you have to do is confess your sins. And He says, I am faithful. I will forgive them. 1 John 1:8-9 said, if we claim to have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. You know, that's a promise for God. No matter how bad you think you are, or where you think you are in your life, or what kind of lifestyle you're living. Maybe you're leaving there too, but I don't know. But living is the word I was looking for. God can forgive. In Romans 3:23, it says this, for everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. You know, truth is, we have hope. We have hope because of one person, and that's Jesus Christ. We have hope of our salvation. That's what we believe. We have hope that when He died on the cross and He says that He took our sins away, And He didn't think about Him again. That's the thing. He says, I put Him as far as the east is from the west, never to think about Him again. I sang a song last week about, don't we all? Because we all stumble. We all fall. We all go through times in our lives where we sin. But thank God, we have hope in Jesus Christ that He will forgive us when we ask Him to. Amen? That's the exciting thing about it. No matter where you are in your life, even if you think everything is just peachy keen and perfect, and you go, you know, I think I'm there. Woo! I'm really something. I mean, I'm living the Christian life. I mean, down to the brass tack. Woo! I'm doing it. I can't think of one thing I'm sinning on. I don't have one problem. I love everybody. And then you go to your prayer time and say, Lord, just show me if there's any, I know there's not, but if there's anything in my life that I need to take care of, any sin, which there can't be because I know I'm righteous. If there is, would you show it to me? And then first thing he does is slap you in the mouth with pride. Yeah. Yeah, boy, that was a little shot there, Lord. I really thought I had it down. I really thought that I was on my way. And then he starts laying down the rest of them. That's what he does to me. I get to thinking, whoo, man, I'm doing pretty good this week. I just can't think of one thing. I know there's bound to be, but I pray and he goes, man, you just have no idea how much you sin. You ain't me. You've got a long way to go. It's a daily process, ain't it? That's why it says, take up your cross every day. Every morning, get up, confess your sins, start the day anew. It's a new day. Today, what a day. Lord, have mercy. Look outside. How many of y'all like the cool weather? I love it. Us fat boys, we love cold weather. I'm kind of like a seal. I mean, I'm not kidding you, but all this fat on here insulates. This vest right here is getting hot. I'm getting hot up here. That's how much insulation I have built in. But I love the cool weather. Now, a lot of horses don't like it so much because some of them get knots in their back and everything. But, you know, they can work it out. But our hope of eternal life comes from Jesus Christ alone. There's no other way to heaven except through Him. You know, the real truth is how many of you really, truly believe that God is still alive? You don't even have to raise your hand, but I mean, how many of you really believe that God is alive and He's alive and well on planet Earth and in heaven? I think we forget sometimes. I think we forget who God is and what He can actually do. When we get in our everyday grind of our life and we get to looking at the bills we got, the problems we got, the ailments and the sicknesses and the different things that's going on in our family, we forget who God is because He's got all the money and the Scripture says He is the great healer. And He loves to lavish blessings on His children. That's us. Those that are His. You know, what mom and dad doesn't want to just give their kids everything that they couldn't get when they were kids? You just think about it, y'all. Kids, they're probably, the kids that are coming in this day and time now are probably more rotten than we were. Did I say that out loud? Not to offend any parents, but I'm telling you, it seems like just more and more and more. More. We want more. We want to give the best to our kids. We want them to have the best education. And we're human. Think what God wants to do for you. What He wants to do for me. It's limitless. It's just unbelievable what God, the good things God wants for you and wants to give you. And I'm not always talking about money. Blessings come in all kinds of ways. It comes in health. It comes in relationships. Man, I thank God for this church. I tell you, there are more people that I love in this church than and I've been in a lot of big churches, y'all. But the folks in this church are more loving than most everywhere I've been. Would y'all agree with that? But it don't sound like it. But I thank the Lord for you every day because I know what it's like at other places. I talked to a preacher buddy of mine, and he's starting to do interim work for a church up in East Texas. And he says, you know, he said, there's the same kind of folks at every church. I said, man, you just figuring that out? He says, yeah, they're the same kind of people. People just wanting to run everything, they're there. He said, people that want to complain about everything, even if they get hung with a new rope, they're there. And the people that are just a joy to be around, that you see when you see them coming, you just want to run up to them and hug their neck. He said, they're there too. I said, you know what that's called, don't you? He goes, what? I said, that's called the body of Christ. That's the family. They're everywhere. So there's somebody that's just like you in another church somewhere else that thinks just like you do. That's a scary thought, ain't it? Ain't that right, Bobby? It's a scary thought, son. I'm telling you that there's somebody like me somewhere else doing the same thing, talking the same stuff that I do, and doing the same stupid things that I do. It's scary. God has got to have a sense of humor. Amen? Woo! And he has got to be patient and have patience and grace because of his kids and who he has to take care of and who he has to discipline. The question is, do Christians sin today? Boy. Yeah, boy. I'm telling you, we got that down good. We got so good at it that a lot of time people don't even know we're doing it. Just think about it. We've got sin down to where nobody knows but just us. Not our family, not our wives, not our husbands, not our friends. We good at hiding it. But I guess what? There's somebody that does know. God the Father knows, I guarantee you, everything that goes on. It's funny how we try to hide our sin, ain't it? And a lot of times we try to do it in the dark. Because why? We think it's because nobody can see. It's dark. Nobody can see what you're doing. That's why the Scriptures talks about sin as being like in darkness. And when Christ comes, he floods light. He shines light and washes it white as snow. Do you think that you should willfully continue to sin after you become a Christian? What I'm talking about, after your conversion. Think about that. Should you willfully just keep on sinning just because you know that God's going to keep forgiving you, right? How many times did God forgive a sin that you do? 7 times? 7 times 7? 7,000 times 7,000? I don't have a clue. Because the Scripture says he is completely patient and he shows grace, which means it's boundless. But there's bound to come a time when he gets sick and tired. You know, after your child keeps doing the same thing over and over again, and every time, before you can even get on to them, they go, I'm sorry. I mean, really? You ain't even got to the punishment stage, and they already got it down. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You're looking at them. You saw them do it. You watched them do it, and they go, oh, I didn't do that. I didn't mean, or I did, or I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. They think I'm sorry is okay. That stops it. But what happens, though? Mom and Dad, they go, oh, you ain't fooling me on that. And out comes the whooping stick. And they get disciplined, right? We do this to God. How many times in a day? Some of us are really good at it. I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. Oh, Lord, I'll do better in the next minute. I won't do that. I just did it again. Oh, well, I mean, I'll try not to do it anymore today. Well, okay, I already did it again. Paul says, the very thing that I don't want to do, the very thing I didn't mean to do, that's the very thing that I do. You get disgusted with yourself sometimes. The answer is, should we willfully continue in our sin after conversion? The answer is no. Because when we become a Christian, when we truly have a conversion experience, we become a new creature. And our new person that we are doesn't want to sin. We don't really look for it. Now, we're going to do it. It's going to happen for all of us, fall short, and we're going to fall. But we don't willingly, willfully say, you know, I get up this morning, and you got up this morning and say, instead of going to church, you said, boy, I think I'm just going to have me a sin day. Woo! No. You don't plan on it. But if you keep doing the same thing day in, day out, every day for years, for long, you get dulled to that sin. You stop listening. You stop hearing the Holy Spirit trying to tell you, son, you need to stop doing that. It's killing you. Stop. It's keeping you separated from me. How long has it been since you heard me talk to you? Heard a word from me? We no longer desire to sin. I had somebody, I talked about this the other day with some guys. We were talking about sin. And he said, you know, he said, I read this thing one time to where that this one sin that I just can't seem to get away from. Oh, I'd love to do it. Whew. I'm telling you, it just makes my day when I do it. And then I feel guilty. As soon as I do it, I feel guilty. But the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, I'm sorry, God. I didn't mean to do it, but I meant to do it, I guess, because I did it. He said, but I started one day. This is pretty amazing. He said, I started one day. I said, what if I built up a wall to where that I couldn't get over it to go to that sin? That one thing. Now, I got a bunch of them I got to work on, but he said, this one thing that I have trouble with, the number one biggie, the number one bad one that I feel the worst about. He said, I start praying in the morning that if my mind starts going that direction, I pray that the Holy Spirit immediately stops me and I visualize a wall there. And he said, and it started out just a little bit like a grasshopper wall. It was real low, you know. He said, but I got through that day. He said, and I got to the next day, I got up and done the same thing. And I prayed that God would help me not to sin in that way again. And he said, and I visualized the wall was a little taller. He said, and every once in a while I'd fall down. I'm not going to lie to you. I'd fall down. And this was a preacher talking to me. He said, I'd fall down and I'd pick myself up. And he said, and I was earnestly saying to the Lord, I really want to get past this, and I truly am sorry. He said, and I looked, and the wall hadn't changed. It was still where it was. So I visualized it to be even higher. He said, I went this way for weeks and then months. And he said, and the wall is so high, I visualized that I don't have trouble with it no more. He said, that one sin, the one that always got me, God got me past it. It wasn't anything I did. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit that got me through it. We no longer should desire to do the sin that entraps us, but we've been transformed to seek being right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Is sin still sin anymore? You bet it is. You bet it is. And it is a serious thing to God. Let's call it what it is. Let's call it sin. Something that we want to stay as far away from as we can. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Woo-wee, Lord. It is hot in here or what? Lord, I just come to you just imploring you, Father, to help us as your children. Help us, Lord, to confess our sins and see it for what it really is. Not for what the world says it is. But who do we serve, Lord? Are we either going to serve the world or we're going to serve you? I pray, Father, that we would choose to serve you. Lord, that our hearts, that we'd be able to visualize that wall, that spiritual wall, Lord, so that we can please you with our everyday life. And that the blessings will flow. They'll come to us, Father. That we will come closer to you than we've ever even could imagine to be. We look forward to that time, Lord. I just thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. He didn't have to do it, Lord, and I know it. I know that he was comfortable right where he was, sitting at your right side, but he willingly laid his life down for me and all the things that I did wrong so he can make me right with you. And that goes for all of us. Lord, I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit that lives within us, Lord, to help us in our day-to-day things that we do. Not only to lead us and guide us, to show light on our next step on the trail we're going on, that you've put us on, Lord, but to help us when we face that temptation. That we remember always, Lord, to put on the full armor of God that you provided for us. That we may be able to withstand all the things that the devil throws at us in a day's time. Lord, I love you, and I love everyone that's here, Father, and you know that. I pray that you just bless this congregation. I pray you just bless this family, these brothers and sisters. Maybe not all everyone that's here, Father, is yours. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't believe, but Lord, that you're talking to them right now, that you're tugging on their heartstrings. I pray, Father, that they would not leave before they get it right, that they accept you as their Lord and Savior. If they need to turn their life around, maybe they've been going the wrong direction away from you, and they're ready to repent, Lord, and turn around and come back to you. I pray, Lord, that they would do that today. Lord, life is too short, and I know you're coming back soon. I pray, Father, that we would continue to love you and to serve you every day from now on till you come back and get us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Want to welcome all you that are here at Common Ground Cowboy Church. If you're visiting here with us, we want to say welcome. We're so glad to have you. Hope you come back. If you're looking for a church home, I pray you consider Common Ground Cowboy Church. I was a long way from here, a long way, many, many towns away, and I looked and I saw this truck, and it said Common Ground Cowboy Church on the back of it. And I thought, man, I am so far away from anywhere being around Common Ground Cowboy Church. Who could this be? And I didn't even know them. They don't go to here anymore. But they still had them. But I want to invite, anytime you see someone who doesn't come here anymore, invite them back. Because we're not what we used to be, right? We're not who we used to be. We're not doing what we used to do. God's got so many things, so many great things for this family here. It's going to blow your mind. It'll blow your socks off, I promise you, what God's going to do in the future. Amen? God bless y'all. I pray that wherever God sends you this week, whatever trail you're on, I pray that he'll bless you and bless your family and protect you and bring you back next week. God bless y'all.